You heard. You coming.
Sanders from the pocket delivers to the end zone, and it's a leaping touchdown caught by Travis Hunter.
To the line here, fakes it, throws into the end zone. Weaver, touchdown!
Some extra power from McCaskill pushes him across the plane to the goal line. Touchdown.
Colorado blocks the punt. It's a scoop and a score for CU. Trevor Woods.
Welcome to the Shoulder to Shoulder podcast. Chase and I are back. It's been a couple years, probably more, I think, since we last recorded. I was trying to figure that out earlier today. But now that we actually have a legit coach, a legit team, it doesn't feel like the world is ending. We decided to bring it back.
Yeah. To be completely honest, I looked it up. It was December 2020 was our last podcast that we posted. So
that's right. We did the COVID year, huh?
Yes, we did the COVID year. We did the loss to Utah was the last one. So,
oh, brutal.
I also found our show notes from that one at one point, and it said something about like positives for the next year.
Was it none?
It's just funny. No, it was like, you know, I mean, a couple of fucking sunshine pumpers like we are. It was like a new quarterback and that kind of stuff. So,
oh man. Okay.
Yeah. No, we were excited. Sort of.
I don't
excited.
Know.
We both kind of knew that Carl Durrell was not good, but at the same time, you know, you can't help but be positive. So,
yeah. I think after 2020, 2021 did us in, though, and that was enough for us.
Oh, yeah. That was bad. Yeah. We didn't even start. We were like, nah, never mind.
Not worth it.
Not worth it.
But for obviously, hopefully some of the people that we had listened before, you guys know who we are. But for anybody new that's going to be listening, which I'm assuming will be hopefully a few new people with all the Coach Prime hype. Chase and I went to school together. We met at CU about 10 years ago now, because we're getting old. Both went to CU. I've been going to Buffs games since I came out the womb, essentially. I was born in November of 94, and I was at a game, I think, 3 weeks later.
Oh, my God.
So I've been coming to games.
My fandom was born out of the fires of Paul Richardson and what was that, our freshman year? Who was the quarterback? Wood, I think.
Yeah, Connor. Well, it was Connor Wood.
It was Connor Wood before Sefo. Yeah, and my fandom was born out of watching Connor Wood like almost lead college football in passing after the first game against Colorado State.
Yep.
And just feeling awesome, and then them sucking for the rest of the year. But, you know,
straight downhill.
Yeah. And then just being terrible for 3 years.
It was a good start, though. And we finished in 2016, which was about as good of a finish as you could ask for.
Yes. So
good a season you asked for. So, you know, we wanted to get this episode in, obviously, before the TCU game, without us having recorded since 2020. We figured we were going to come bring it back to the glorious moment that Coach Prime was one, rumored, and two, announced to be the CU head coach. Because I mean, I know it's now been 8 months, which is crazy, because normally the off season kind of drags on, but I feel like this off season flew by. And now I know that the rest of this week is going to drag on to get to Saturday, but man, I mean, this has been an absolute roller coaster of an 8 months for CU football.
Yeah, I mean, it's been pretty crazy. I don't know, like, I've been looking back through like our old text messages from before he got hired, and the first one I saw was like me texting you in quotes saying signs point to Sanders. Like, what the fuck are we talking about right now?
Right.
Because it just didn't sound like a real thing. So yeah, it's been kind of a crazy however many months it's been since whatever he whenever he was announced, December or whatever it was.
It was December.
But yeah, man, it's cool to be excited about it again after the last couple of years.
Yeah. So. It was wild to me to think back to how I felt when I first heard about him being a potential candidate, because at first my mind went to like, there's no way Rick George can pull this off. I mean, this is the same guy that hired Carl Durrell in the first place. No way this is happening. And then I kind of went through like, well, what would it be like if he was the coach here? And I probably, like most other people that did not follow Jackson State closely, I was like, I mean, obviously the dude can recruit, but who knows what his like actual coaching prowess would be like. And I think he's answered that just in the 8 months I've been able to watch all the well-off videos, all the Reach the People, all of the three different YouTube channels that follow him. It's very evident that he knows what the hell he's doing, and he knows how to do it at a high level.
Yeah, I mean, look, it just feels, I don't even know what to say, because it just feels weird to me. Like, we'll get to it later, but I still have like bad Buff shit in the back of my brain with like everything that we talk about with this stuff. So I just like, I have a hard time even imagining the like best possible outcome of this. But so far, yeah, I mean, we have Travis Hunter and Shadur and like, I don't know. Well, honestly, we could talk like this for 30 minutes, but like all these guys that we have on the team that are just way better when we were trying to talk ourselves into Brendan Lewis, obviously, into like being a great quarterback, and JT like Shrout. Alex Fontenot and JT Shrout and stuff like that. It's just a completely different thing altogether. So
no disrespect to this guy specifically, because he's obviously an extremely good athlete, but at one point we were looking at like MLC was going to be like the guy.
He was the guy. Him and Jordan Tyson, man.
Yeah. And to look at that and then to see the receiving core that we have now is unreal, to say the least.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, we could talk about just the difference in players for an hour. He's just, the whole thing has changed. The whole, like, the vibe has changed. There's more people coming into camp and talking about the team than there ever has been before, like by a mile. I mean,
there's scouts we're
being
every day.
Talked about. Scouts are there every day. We're being talked about on Fox and ESPN all the time, to the point where like people are getting irritated that we're getting talked about so much.
Did you see like I think it was Monday? Yeah, yesterday on. During an NFL preseason game.
Yes.
Or maybe a Sunday.
Preseason game. Yeah.
They announced that we were going to be wearing all white with like a new kind of gold.
Yeah.
For our game against TCU, and talking about how all players were going to come out with like sunglasses on for that game. Cause I guess the whole team got like a sunglass sponsorship or something.
I don't even know, man. At this point, I'm just, like I said, I'm just along for the ride. But yeah, that's what it sounded like. I know like Coach Prime and his press conference today said something about it, and then he was like, no, I can't really talk about this NIL stuff. So I don't know, hopefully yes.
Yeah.
So it's the type of thing that if I wasn't a fan of CU, I would be like, this is so stupid and I hate it so much.
Oh yeah.
And I want them to lose so badly. But obviously, you know, being on this side, we're just like, yeah, it's awesome. We just get awesome recognition all the time. I have more content to absorb than I've ever had in my entire life.
Yeah. I feel like I'm scrambling sometimes to like keep up, because I'm like trying to watch all three channels, and then the CU channel will drop something.
100%.
Prime will drop something on his own. Like, it's like, it just never ends. And it's awesome for somebody that like us that loves just like devouring CU content as it comes out.
100%.
But yeah, like you said, we could go on and on about the differences between what we were looking at this time last year and now. But I wanted to touch real quick before we get into the season predictions, into the TCU game, to get what your thoughts were on the conference realignment. I mean, I think now, even now, looking back for a month ago, if it has been a month, but when we didn't know that the Pac-10 at that point was going to basically become the Pac-4, I think we were still pretty optimistic. But I think now, obviously, we absolutely made the right call.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, this is the first time we're talking about it because it's the first time we've had a podcast in years. But yeah, like, it got to the point where I was almost tired of hearing about it. Like, they left a ship that was sinking and got on like the best possible lifeboat, pretty much. I mean, I don't think we were ever going to go to the Big Ten. Like, I don't think that was ever an option. And so we went to the Big 12 and we got a full media share and are set up for at least like to buoy us into whatever the next phase of realignment is, because that's definitely going to be what happens. Like, I don't think it's just going to stay like this forever or anything like that. It's just until the next set of teams get poached to like the two main power conferences. And I think this was kind of what we had to do. I mean, obviously, because, you know, Oregon, Washington left, and we just decided to get out of there before we were forced to leave with no other options, pretty much, which I think was the right move. So, yeah. I mean, really, if you get rid of the huge, giant mistake of hiring Carl Durrell and just go from when Rick George hired Mel Tucker, which I still think was the right choice. That might be a hot take. I don't know.
But I agree with you there.
He's actually been pretty solid. So I feel like he made the right choice, obviously, with Coach Prime, and he made the right move with realignment. So good for him, you know, hate him or whatever.
Yeah.
We're in a better spot, I think, now than we could have been otherwise.
Yeah, agreed. I think I personally am not a huge Rick George fan at all, but you have to give him credit where credit's due with the Prime hire, because that was, I mean, he swung for the fences. And he hit it yard.
Yep. So.
But yeah, I agree with everything you said. I mean, we, looking back now, I mean, we were the first, well, technically the third to move, because USC and UCLA started the whole shit show. But
sure. Yeah.
You know, when we were the first team after that to move, everyone was kind of like, did they make the right call? Like, the Pac-12 Stars announced their deal. And then all the rumors came out about, like, the Apple TV, and it was based on like subscriber count, but the tiers were like an absurd number to get. Like, there's no way they're ever going to hit those numbers. It was like to get to the 30 million mark, they'd have had to get like, I think, what, 10 million subscribers, or maybe it's half that, five. But even then, that's a lot of people just for.
I don't even remember. All I know is, like, I understand it's not the same Big 12 that it was when we left, when it was like the Big 8 or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it was just clearly the best option remaining, pretty much. So I think I'm good with it. I guess that's where I stand. I'm content with what they ended up doing.
I mean, and let me honestly, if you look at it, I think we have more Big 12 championship appearances than the entire rest of the current Big 12 combined. If I'm not mistaken on that.
Yeah. So there's some ridiculous, like, we have more like Big 12 championship wins than any of the teams remaining after Oklahoma and Texas leave or something like that.
Yeah.
Which, that's all great. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Like,
yeah, if we can get back to that,
stays for a few more years, and I hope we get better and better, and maybe like that's our conference. I don't know, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, I'm stealing myself for the day that he inevitably goes somewhere else. I'm preparing myself mentally for it now, because I know I'm going to be in my bed crying for days, even if I do prepare for it now. So it's better. Well, just...
Yeah. What are you going to do? You know?
Yeah. It's a day that I don't want to talk about much, but, you know, for now, we just, like you said, we got to enjoy the ride while we're on it.
It's for a later podcast.
Yeah. So, Let's jump into, did you want to do season predictions first, or you want to do that after we touch on the TCU game? I mean, I know we're doing it all in one, but.
I mean, either way, like, it kind of just one will play into the other, but we can do a season overview if you want first and then go from there.
Yeah, I mean, so obviously the Vegas over under, unless it's changed since the last time I checked, when I put
it's still 3.5. Like,
Okay. I put my entire, which is not much, but I put my entire account balance in DraftKings on the over for that. I am confident enough to say that they will get the over on that. It's tricky on where I think they're going to land, like, record wise, because nobody, including, I mean, pretty much nobody outside of the people on this team and the few media channels that are allowed to watch every practice know exactly what this team's going to look like. I mean, we have obviously a lot of talent compared to previous years, compared to other teams, but who knows what this team's going to look like when they come out and play together for the first time, like this Saturday or, you know, throughout the season.
Well, so it's really hard. I have noticed since I've been, like, preparing for us doing this again, to get accurate information one way or the other, essentially.
Yeah.
You're either getting the stuff from All Buffs and the 247 boards and the, like, Colorado whatever fan base and DNVR and all those guys. That's just totally, like, yeah, they're amazing. Shadur hasn't thrown an interception in however many practices. Everything is great. They're fantastic. Yeah. They look better than they've ever looked. Or, but he's like the head of the recruiting portion of ESPN or whatever, which is, like, the biggest joke position in college football. And he was saying, like, if, like, everyone thinks UMass has the worst roster, but I'm telling you, Colorado might have the worst roster in college football this year, or whatever it was. So you just really get one end or the other. It's hard to find a middle ground on just, like, even the coverage of this team, because it seems like no one really totally knows what's going on. I don't know if you want to just get into straight up, you just want to say what you think they're going to do, or if you want to go through the games or whatever, but you go ahead.
Oops, I'm trying to pull up the CU schedule to make sure I go in order here. So I don't know if you can hear my Twitter feed in the background, but so, I mean, just going game by game, because I can tell you right now, I've got them at 7-5. I'll probably list it off, and I'll say the games, then I'll probably realize that I did my math wrong. But I've got TCU as a loss.
Okay.
Nebraska win, Colorado State win, Oregon loss, USC loss, Arizona State and Stanford wins. So I'm at 4 wins. UCLA, I think I had that as a loss. Oregon State loss, and then Arizona, Colorado, or Arizona and Washington State is a win. So no, that's 6. I think I do have us beating UCLA then, because
okay,
it's either them or TCU. I think is who that seventh win would come down to.
Okay, all right.
And I might even be sunshine pumping then too. I have no idea.
Look, I can 100% see that. I alluded to this earlier. I think, like, the last 2 years, especially the last year in particular, has just fully broken me to, like, a deep, like, deep in my core of CU fandom, where, you know, we fire Shiverini and we hire a new guy and we're like, well, the offense couldn't possibly be worse than it was before. And then we were, like, the worst team in all of college football, right? Like, that's what Buffs fans are coming off of.
Historically, so, man.
I understand the optimism, obviously, and I understand the people who are super low on it, sort of, but I had them at 5-7, and I was leaning a little bit, like, if someone was to ask me what's more likely, 4-8 or 6-6, I would have leaned more to the 4-8 side. But I think that's just because I'm totally
traumatized.
I think, so I guess for me it would be dropping TCU, Nebraska seems like it could be a toss-up. I like them to win that game. I really do like Colorado to win that game, but like it could be a toss-up. I think they'll beat Colorado State, but like Oregon and USC are probably losses. I think when I did it out, I think it was Nebraska, Colorado State, Arizona State, or no, Stanford and Arizona State, Stanford, and Washington State or Arizona, like one of those two winning, I think is what I had. But they just feel the thing is, like we were talking about earlier, the amount of content that's coming out right now, just the amount of like hype from CU people and the amount of hate from everyone else, it is going to reach a fever pitch if they manage to especially win this game on Saturday or like keep it close. But if they win this game on Saturday, then everything that I just said, like you can forget about it. I'm like, they're going 3-0. They're going into Eugene and they're 3-0 and who knows what's going to happen. And they're going to play USC and all their defense looks so bad and whatever. Like I'm going to be talking myself into all that stuff. So, I'm like trying to temper my expectations right now, but we'll get into like the specifics on TCU and like every game, obviously, as the weeks come up. But I'm reserved on my optimism. I'll say that much.
I actually think I like your approach better because it helps with the emotional letdown if something doesn't go the way we want it to.
Well, sure. I'm going to still be devastated. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's a part of my heart that is like, they're going to win this weekend, even though they're 20 and a half point underdogs away from home. But
in 105 degree
heat. In 105 degree heat. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. It's, oh, man. I have not been this excited for a season. And people will probably be like, oh, well, looking back, of course you were. But no, I was like tooting the horn of the 2016 team before that season started. So I can't think of another time other than 2016 where I was this excited for a season to start.
Well, that was the last time people had like positive news that didn't sound like coach speak. Like that, I mean, if you remember that was Coach McIntyre was coming out and saying like, we're going to compete for the Pac-12 championship, and everyone laughed at him about it, of course. But like at the time that was like pretty bold to just be like, this team that has sucked for a long time, yeah, we're going to be awesome this year.
Right.
So that was the last time we've like had that kind of level. I mean, like we've had people in the last couple of weeks, Michael Irving has said like, this is going to be, you know, Coach Prime is going to reveal his masterpiece,
right?
Like, in the next, you know, and we've had like Urban Meyer, as much as that guy sucks and is scum of the earth, say like, that's a talented football team. And, you know, we've had obviously Coach Prime say all of his things and assistant coaches on the team come out and say like, we have an elite quarterback and like the issue with our offense is getting everyone else like be on the same page as him because he's so good, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Like that stuff hasn't come out since the 2016 team. I know. I mean, before when we were talking about doing this again, I kind of started to write out a thing on like the similarities between like the 2016 team and this team and stuff, but it kind of falls apart a little bit. But it just like just the vibes coming out of camp, the fact that like in 2016 they had a really tough schedule coming in too, and everyone was like, oh, they'll be better, but they have to play Michigan in the non-conference and go to Oregon in their first conference game. Like it was like the same, you know, kind of stuff. And they had like elite athletes in their secondary and the defense, and their offense was built on, you know, like a good running game and all that stuff. Like there's a lot of like weird little, you know, similarities and stuff. But that was like the last time we've been that excited, I would say, for sure. And I remember you and I were both excited about it because we were in the Oregon game at CU in 2015 in the rain watching them like kind of hang on there for a little while before it fell apart. And we were both like, oh, we're close, you know?
We are almost there.
So, yeah. No, those were the days.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I mean, I feel like... I mean, it's Tuesday right now. I feel like yesterday and today have been the longest 2 days of my life. I'm thankful that there's at least some good matchups on Thursday to watch because... I need college football, man. I tried watching like USC against
San Jose.
Yeah, San Jose State, and I was like, I mean, it's cool watching Caleb Williams because the dude's obviously extremely gifted. But at the same time, it's just like, I mean, most people could probably in Power Five tear apart a San Jose State defense. So
yeah, potentially. I don't know.
Maybe not Brendan Lewis or. JT Shop.
Yeah, no one that we've had.
That was an unnecessary dig.
Yes. I know. No one that's you has had on their team could tear apart the San Jose State defense, let me tell you.
Right. Right. But yeah, I mean let's just jump into it. Let's just jump into the TCU game. 10 a.m. big noon kickoff. Fucking time zones. Big noon kickoff for CU's first game, which is I don't remember the last time we were on Big Noon. It may have been more recently than I could remember, but definitely not to start the season, that's for sure. And to do it against the team that played in the national championship last year is, I mean, like you said, I mean, it's if CU wins this game, I mean, it's going to be massive in terms of the feedback and all of the noise about the program. Also, same thing if they get blown out by 20-some points like the spread suggests.
Yeah,
same thing. But I mean, there's eyes on this program like have never been before, and it starts from the very first game, and it's probably going to continue like this throughout the entire season, barring, you know, a ton of like blowout losses, which I just don't see happening.
Yeah, hopefully not. I don't know where you want to, like, do you want to start on the TCU side? Do you want to start on the CU side? Like wherever you want to dive in, I'm ready for this, but
let's start with TCU.
Okay.
Let's start with the defending Big 12 champ. No, they weren't even the Big 12 champs, were they?
Technically they lost in the title game.
Yeah
to Kansas State.
So the defending national championship runner up TCU Horned Frogs.
Yes.
I think they're going to be a good team. I think most like they're ranked 19. Which I think is a pretty fair ranking for them coming into the season.
Are they 19? I thought they were 17.
That's going to make me look stupid if they're 17.
I think they're 17, but whatever. It's cool.
Whenever I'm throwing out numbers, if Chase counters me on it, I trust Chase. Just a rule of thumb for the podcast going forward. But, I think I heard Joel Klatt call him 19. I think that's why I said it. But
yeah, whatever.
Look, you cannot replace Quentin Johnson very easily.
Mm-hmm. No.
I mean, that dude was electric. And then on top of that, they had Jesus Christ himself in Max Duggan willing them to wins that they should not have won. I mean, that dude was like heroic at times.
Yeah, I don't know about that description of him, but I will say... if you want to get into it, right? TCU had 8 players drafted after last year, which is the fourth most behind only Alabama, Georgia, and Michigan. So,
that's shocking.
If you look into Alabama, Georgia, Michigan, one thing you'll see is that, particularly with Alabama, Georgia, their recruiting classes are like all within the top 5. In the last 4 years, whereas TCU is outside the top 25 in most of those years, which doesn't mean everything now, especially with the transfer portal. I mean, if anything, we know that you can get some good transfers, but it's not like when that matters that 8 players were drafted. Like, not every team is Georgia or Alabama and they can just like reload immediately with some other 5-star that's just been waiting. So, yeah, that matters. I mean, Quinn Johnson is on the Chargers, which is the NFL team that I root for now, and I expect big things out of him. So, Yeah, no, they need a lot of new guys. They returned 3 offensive starters and 8 defensive starters. So, especially on offense, they've got a lot that they got to make up for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at it to double check to make sure I was wrong on this. Everyone talked about how TC did a lot of work in the transfer portal, which can we talk about how Coach Prime has redefined doing work in the transfer portal? But they going into last season, they were the 11th transfer ranking, like transfer recruiting ranking team in the country, which I mean, obviously, that's good. That's nothing to knock on, but I don't think anyone expected that those guys were going to get them to the national championship. And looking this year in the transfer portal, they dropped all the way down to 21st in the portal. So they definitely got some dudes, but I mean, you're just not replacing 8 NFL guys. And two of those guys, Max Duggan and Quentin Johnson. And then I can't remember his name, but their running back was solid too. I mean, he was averaging like 6-something yards a carry. I mean, they just lost so much of the skill positions specifically that I don't know how they're going to be able to replace that production.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know how accurate this is because I wrote this down a while ago, but I have written down that they had to replace, obviously, their quarterback, which we know, their top 2 running backs, and then their top like 4 wide receivers in terms of just purely production. Ooh. So, yeah, I mean, they needed to replace a lot, not to mention their offensive coordinator went to Clemson to be their offensive coordinator. So they have a new offensive coordinator who is, you know, supposed to be good, came from Arkansas. I have a bunch of stuff that I took from that guy, too, just as far as like what we're going to be looking at and stuff. But they're like a lot is new. A lot is new. A ton of stuff is new. Obviously, that sounds funny coming from 2 guys who root for CU where like the whole team is new, but
yeah,
a lot is new for them, at least on offense. So,
yeah, you said you had a lot on Briles, which also not him. I mean, him most, but mostly his dad, scum of the earth.
Sure. Yeah.
of the earth. But, but you said you had some stuff on him coming from Arkansas. He kind of runs like a variation of the run and shoot, right?
Yeah. So, there's basically the offense it's a ton of RPOs, yep. Like over and over and over and over and over again. Like we're gonna get so tired of seeing this over and over again.
I meant RPO, but yeah,
same, whatever. I knew what you were talking about. He was the offensive coordinator at Arkansas for the last 3 years. His last year, they were 35th in scoring, which is like solid, especially since they play an SEC schedule. So for 8 of those games, they play, you know, what most people would say is like a tougher schedule. Granted, the 4 games that aren't SEC are usually cakewalks, but whatever. That's an argument for another episode. His quarterback was KJ Jefferson, and the running back was Rocket Sanders. And those are 2 guys who have been like insanely productive in the last year. Sanders had 1,400 yards as a running back rushing and 10 touchdowns and like a couple hundred yards in the receiving game and 2 more touchdowns. And then Jefferson was like their second leading rusher and was like a fairly productive quarterback. But their whole offense is based on they either run it with their quarterback or their running back, or they throw it to essentially a one-on-one on the outside. If that's like what they can do, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for a cornerback matched up with one of their wide receivers one-on-one. And then they just toss it off to them and hope that they like have the right mismatch there essentially.
That's a bad matchup against CU though.
Yeah. That's not like the best method. They ran a lot of QB power. It looked like for people who don't know, KJ Jefferson is 6'3", 247 pounds.
He's a hoss.
So he's a monster. For comparison, Chandler Morris, the starting quarterback at TCU, is 6', 190 pounds. So it's a little bit of a different ball game. So I would imagine
that's his listed height too. So he's probably like 5'10".
Yes, listed height, listed weight. So like they'll probably do less, I would imagine, of that kind of stuff. But that's like the one thing that would concern me. Like, I'm sure we'll get into this more, but with CU being smaller, like, let's just face it, they're just not as big in on the lines. Their defensive line is like, by weight, is not as big, I should say. By weight, by height, they're like pretty sizable, but by weight,
they're the tallest team in the country.
Yeah, something. I don't know if they're the tallest, but they're definitely up there. I mean, their left tackle is like 6'10", so yeah, that helps. The one thing that would concern me is if TCU finds a way to like make gaps in the running game just up the middle, basically. Mm-hmm. That concerns me, that like between the quarterback and one of their running backs running. But that's what I would say about Briles, is like, he was doing that with a quarterback who is much bigger and just like much more of, I would say, an all-around athlete. I would probably get some hate if I was to talk to TCU people on that, but he is just like bigger and stronger, and their running back is just flat out better. Like, the guy who's going to start for them this year for TCU was like their third string running back last year. So
they brought in Trey Sanders.
I know, and I think Imani Bates, I think the third string guy, beat him out in camp.
Did he really?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, that's what I saw. I thought today. I could be wrong about that. I would imagine they'll both get time, but just like the weapons he's going to have are different. So we'll see what it looks like. But I do worry that like the matchup of how they want to play on offense could be bad for us. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember much because he got hurt pretty early in the game against us last year. Chandler Morris did. And classic CU curse, the backup quarterback came in and worked us.
And then almost went on to win the Heisman.
Everyone works us, honestly, for the last few years. Yeah. But
Chandler Morris, don't get hurt during this game, please.
Right, because we know, I think it's Josh. Because
whoever
is going to be the backup. Yeah,
whoever your backup is going to throw for 500 yards.
Yep. But I don't, I mean, I think he was relatively like athletic, but I don't think Chandler, I mean, he's definitely no Duggan.
No, I think Sonny Dykes, I think their head coach even said like he was talking about his accuracy as a passer being better, like especially in the intermediate. But he said he's not as much of a straight up athlete as Duggan is. So I don't know. We'll see. Who knows? I mean, that's the thing. Every coach is going to be like, Coach Prime does the same thing. I mean, he's going to be confident and he's going to say good things. So you kind of have to sift through the coach speak about like what they're worried about. But
And I mean, we'll touch on this in a second, but I think one of the things that I noticed I don't have any other thoughts on TCU. So I don't know if you had anything else. If not, I was just going to jump right into something I heard in the press conference that kind of gave me pause.
I was just going to say, so their offense is brand new. They're running in a new scheme with guys that they have on the team from last year are mostly going to be their primary guys. Like, they did get some transfers in, particularly on the line. Those guys are going to play, but it sounds like Imani Bates is going to be their starting running back, and he was their third string last year. Chandler Morris is obviously going to be their quarterback. He was supposed to be the starter and then lost his job last year. It's like his fourth year in college football, even though he's somehow like a redshirt sophomore or something like that.
The 2020 year, man.
Right. So you're kind of, I don't know. It's kind of like a weird thing with him. We'll see what he actually looks like. And their O-line is like very big. I would say weight-wise, they are large just in general. And then their defense returns a bunch of people, but they were very bad last year. So we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, they kind of had the classic Big 12 defense.
Yeah.
I mean, the Big 12, the last like 3 years has just been like, everybody scoring 50 points because it's just whoever has the ball last is going to win the game. So they had the classic Big 12 defense, but I think you're pretty spot on with everything. Did you see that they had like a 455 pound?
Yes.
I mean, he's not playing.
They have a freshman. A freshman is like 450. Yeah.
Was he? He had to have gained weight since high school, right? Like, there's no way he was playing 455 in high school.
I don't know, man. They have a video of him from, I think it's like one of those like All American camps or whatever, Nike, you know, like those sponsored camps with like top recruits, and he looks huge. Like, he literally has a move where he just takes his both hands and just slapped the guy on his shoulders and knocked him to the ground because he's so big that he just like puts people in the earth. Probably wouldn't work as well at the D1 college level, but I guess we'll see. I don't know.
Well, he's redshirting. I think he's redshirting because they're like, he's got to get in better shape
because he is a big boy.
I think he's redshirting, but I think that's a guy he's got to be your first guy off the bus every time.
Yeah, right. I know. You just got to be like, this is the size that we're
moving. He's on around. Travel squad. Yes. Just so he can show up out of the bus.
Yes. Just so that someone can be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
What is that?
I can tell you right now, if I was in high school and I walk out on the field and there's a 455 pound dude, I'm taking my helmet off and handing it to the coach. I'm saying, I'm good.
Yeah, and that's why neither of us plays football for senior. Yeah.
That's why we didn't make it past high school.
Yes. Yeah, sure.
Going to the press conference today, and this is kind of where I wanted to start, just because I think this is obviously the biggest concern, which
with in today's stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With today's transfer portal era, I mean, I feel like this is like 99% of college fans and college coaches' worries is if the starting QB goes down, knock on wood, who comes in after him? Because at this point, you know, anybody that's not starting is now transferring. So nobody really has like too many legit backups. But during the press conference today, I mean, someone asked a question somewhere along the lines of like, you know, what position groups give you concern, et cetera. And they didn't mention any specific groups, but Coach Prime himself kind of mentioned like, you know, as long as that line protects too, you're going to be fine. And I just, at least to me being skeptical, is like, he's a little nervous about it because he unprompted brought up that offensive line and Tyler Brown not getting his waiver from the NCAA was probably a big part of that, which fuck the NCAA, by the way, that's some bullshit, but
yeah, that's like a whole other thing. Yeah.
Yeah. But the O-line, I think just in general, the lines are everybody's major concern, mostly for depth reasons. I think the starting talent's there. But the depth is what's scary there.
Yeah. I mean, so here's my thing with that. Everyone talks about, at least with the Buffs this year, there has been a lot of like, they're really thin on the offensive and defensive line, or they're, you know, like depth. How many teams in college football really have like a defensive lineman who's their starter, who they're banking on, that he gets hurt and they can just throw in a new guy who they're like, yeah, we're fine. You know, like Georgia.
Two teams, three teams, maybe.
Alabama, Michigan, yeah. Maybe, you know, like maybe Ohio State, something like that. So I get it. It's a legitimate concern, but also like it's probably a concern for 99% of teams. So I guess for me, I'm just like, yeah, like you have to be lucky in a season to do well in some respect. Like you just have to have some health. The offensive line, yeah, I worry about it. I do think that the offense that they're running is somewhat designed to just like move quickly. And like, I think a lot of what Shadur is going to do is going to be like quick passes to the outside or to a back or to like Dylan Edwards, who runs, you know, who's got like 4.3 speed, and he's going to just get out in space and that kind of stuff. So if you do that enough, like they just won't be able to bring as much pressure because they just know that you'll do that to death basically. So yeah, like obviously it's a concern, and if he's getting sacked all game long, like we're in trouble. And if they can't run at all, then we're in trouble. But I think that will be okay. I'm more concerned about the defensive side of the ball and the defensive line, only because like it's great to see these highlights of Dylan Edwards, for example, it seems like every practice you see him break like a 75 yard touchdown. Mm-hmm. And that's great. Like, that's exciting. Everyone's excited about Dylan Edwards. Part of me is like, okay, I hope that he's just that incredible, which he very well could be. But the other part of me is like, are we just going to get used to them giving up like 80 yard touchdown runs on the reg, you know? So I'm more concerned about that than I would say I'm concerned about the offensive line. Like, I think the scheme will hide a lot of stuff with the offense. I just think with the defense, you can't, like, you're not protected by that as much. So
no, you're definitely not.
I'm more concerned about that. And I know Coach Prime is like, oh, well, if they protect two, blah, blah, blah. But I just, yeah, I think if he's getting more pressure early, then they'll just get the ball out of his hands faster. And he's smart enough to figure that out. So,
yeah, I agree with that completely. I think, you know, when you talk about depth, I mean, the O-line, I think probably has like 7-8 guys that they'll be able to cycle in, which I think, like you said, is pretty normal. The D-line probably has about 5.
Yeah, they're definitely thinner for sure.
And that's why I think the rumor and what most people are expecting Cedar run is like a 2-4-5 sort of setup at defense with obviously two guys' hands in the dirt, and then you've got some edge guys on the outside holding down those edges. So, I mean, that gives you a 5-man rotation for 2 spots, which isn't that terrible. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, like you said, I think the thing with Dylan Edwards is, at least in the Pac-12, not going to see that kind of like explosive speed on many teams that Dylan Edwards has, except for like, I mean, I can think of like, obviously we all saw what Zachariah Branch did last week in his first college game. I think he's kind of, I think him and Dylan Edwards are going to be the two guys that are going to be fun to watch and like seeing, you know, who has a bigger game week to week, because I think they're both like, I think they're both just special.
I want to be clear about this before you keep going. I am very much in on the Dylan Edwards bandwagon. Like, I am not at all dismissing what he has shown so far. I do think he's an incredible player, but yeah, I just, like I've said already a few times in this podcast, the part of me that has been a CU fan now for however many years is like, oh, but what if that just means our defense sucks?
Yeah.
So we'll see. I do think he's great. Like, I think he will actually be very impactful. So
yeah, and it's also so hard to judge like from just the videos, because the last time that anyone saw this team like in a real like action was the spring game, and even then like half of those guys are gone. Like guys that were brought in for that spring session, some of them were like, for lack of a better term, like booted. Yeah, they were told to look elsewhere.
Yes,
I mean that's just there. I mean, even then we just brought in, I'm spacing on his name now, but the linebacker from ASU who was formerly at Tennessee and Texas.
Oh yeah, like Juju something.
Yes.
Yeah, I forget. I apologies to that guy. We're like still catching up to the fact that we've got damn near 80 new people on the roster, but yeah, they've got like some new linebacker who like just came in. So
yeah, I think everybody is in the same position as us. I mean, for the two of us who, like, I mean, again, we're watching content like every day, and I feel like there's still like every few days, like I'm like, I haven't heard that name before. I'm like, oh, what position does he play again? Like, it's just like a total roster flip, which is, for at least for me, and I'm sure for you too. I mean, I've always pretty much known every guy from starter to walk on. Mm-hmm. And I definitely don't know a lot of the walk ons for this year right now.
No.
And there's just a lot of new faces. But yeah, I mean, going back to what I was saying, there's, I don't think that they're going to see that kind of speed that Dylan Edwards has every game. And so I think that those explosive plays are going to be at least not as frequent as we're seeing in these practice videos. I think we've got the athletes, especially, I mean, the secondary is going to be pretty nuts in my opinion. I mean, you've got Travis Hunter locking down one corner. Well, depending on, you know, how much he's going to be playing defense, it sounds like, you know, he's been focusing a lot on offense, but I think that's more because he's just got cornerback locked down so well that he doesn't need to practice at it. I remember seeing one clip like halfway through fall camp where Travis was playing receiver and they're doing like one-on-ones with the cornerbacks, and Prime got pissed because somebody like got burned, and he just goes, "Trav, get in there and show him how it's done. Hasn't played cornerback all fall ball. Gets in there and just
I think that was spring. Yeah, I think it was spring, but yeah.
But just absolutely locks this dude down, makes him look silly. First time running cornerback in months. And it's just, so, I mean, depending on how much he plays cornerback, he will lock things down. You know, I think Cormani McClain or sounds like, you know, Stoutmeyer is making a play for PT.
Cooper.
I mean, there's a lot of guys that I think will be able to hold the secondary down. And then obviously at the safeties, it sounds like Slusher as of today is going to be like that, mm-hmm. that star back. So I'm really not concerned about that. The one thing that I don't really have a good handle on, at least personally, is the linebackers. Mm. And I don't know why. I think it's because I'm looking at like, oh, Marvin Ham might be starting. Like,
oh yeah, I saw that too. You know? yeah.
He never really popped off during his time before Prime got here. So I mean, to hear that he might be starting now is, it's like a question of, did he just take a huge step, or are they just not seeing the production from the other guys that they thought they would get?
Well, he's playing a different, I think they have him playing a different position, not entire position. Like, he's obviously still a linebacker, but I think they switched him from whatever, I forget if he was like an off ball linebacker in the other system that he was playing with, he who must not be named, and that whole staff or what. But I did hear that like, yeah, they have a different they're like putting him in a different spot. But yeah, I'm just like you. I heard like, wait, this guy who's been on the roster for a few years and hasn't really done anything is like going to be the starting linebacker on this team.
Yeah.
And I think also like you, I naturally gravitate towards the like fear of the worst case scenario of like, oh, these guys that they brought in aren't actually that good. So now we have to go with this other guy who's not that good, but he's just slightly better.
Yeah.
So we'll see. And who knows? I mean, I feel like they do so much where they're just going, they're just motivating guys. And they're, I mean, Coach Prime straight up said before one of their practices, I don't want you to pay attention to what position you are on the depth chart, because frankly, like it could change at any moment. And, I want you to be talking to each other about like, do you think I am actually good enough to do this, and talk to each other about like, what do you need to be doing better and what can you do better and that kind of stuff. So I don't know, we'll see. But yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I know it's linebackers, seems like since they got here it's supposedly going to be Demoy Kennedy and Levante Bentley,
yeah,
are the like the guys.
Yeah.
But who knows, honestly. I mean,
you gotta think Charles Kelly knew what he was going to be getting in Kennedy.
Yes. Yeah. I would think so. He was on your team already.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
I think maybe it's just because we've heard so much about like pretty much every other position,
mm-hmm.
that linebackers just kind of seem to be the ones that didn't get really a ton of spotlight. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe they didn't get one because they didn't, like, everyone kind of expects that, you know, we've got a Clemson transfer, an Alabama transfer. We're fine there, so we don't need
Look, the last few years, the best defensive player, well, I guess not last year, but the years before that, the best guy on our defense was Nate Landman, and he was a linebacker, and we sucked ass. So,
yeah,
I heard a lot about Nate Landman every year and how great he was and how much he could, like, control and talk to everyone and organize things, and as long as he was in there, they were great. And, like, in his defense, he did have a large impact. But I'm okay not hearing about them, you know, like as long as they're not terrible. I hope they're good. I hope they perform to their expectations. But if I'm okay with this year hearing about Shane Cokes and Jordan Dominic and Travis Hunter and, yeah, you know, Cormani and Omarion Cooper and those guys instead.
Yeah. Speaking of Shane Cokes, did you know that he had 2 years to play? I mean, he'll probably be gone after this year, you know, if he plays up to like the hype we're hearing about him. But if he chooses to stay, we got him for 2 years, which would be nice.
It would be nice. We'll see. I don't know. I'm like, so with all the like looking, I don't even want to look ahead because who knows? I saw a post the other day that was like, look, if you're a Colorado fan, your ideal scenario is that they win 4 or 5 games and show clear improvement, but not so much improvement that every team that needs a coach is trying to poach Coach Prime.
Yeah.
Because if they win 6 games, 7 games or more, people are going to be like, oh my God, that's the most incredible thing I've ever seen. Like they took the worst team in college football and turned them into a bowl plus team.
Like one of the worst teams historically in Power Five.
Right, exactly. And for a second, I was like, oh my God, I think they're right.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm just like, whatever, man. I'm just going to enjoy it while it lasts. I understand he will not be here forever. But
yeah,
while he's here, I'm going to enjoy the hell out of it.
I keep going back to he had a quote that was like, I'm a need to be needed kind of guy.
Right, exactly.
I'm like, yeah. Trust me, we need you for at least a couple of years. I mean, you're gone, we go right back down to where we were.
Instantly. Yeah.
Your job is not finished for a few years at least.
Let me talk to you about need.
Yeah.
Let me talk to you about betting against your own team against the spread every game for an entire year because you know that they're so bad
for the last three years that, well not 2020 is, but 21-22.
That is Colorado fandom, knowing that they're going to go play Air Force in Colorado Springs and lose by at least 25 points.
Oh, just yeah,
without a doubt, not even sweating it. Yeah, that's what, yeah, Colorado is.
It wasn't even I mean, that was easily the most lucrative betting years of my life. Since I was able to legally gamble and Vegas once just couldn't figure out that CU team.
Once I convinced myself, like, look, they're bad. I don't care what your heart wants. They're bad.
Yeah.
Then it was good. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I think we all know which guys we're all excited to see. We're excited to see Shadur, Travis, Dylan Edwards. Shiloh just absolutely blowing people up. Who's somebody that you can think of that's not getting like a ton of the hype, but you think is gonna make some plays?
I don't know how much he'll play this year, although I think that, like we talked about earlier, the rotation at that position is like not very big, so he could get some minutes. Bishop Thomas. I just love Bishop Thomas. Like, I just, all the like well off media videos and everything. Yeah. Like, I just love that dude. And Coach Prime clearly loves him and like thinks very highly of him. So I would not be surprised if he ends up getting some time in some games this year and make some plays. But more than anything, I just like want to see him make some plays for just like the content sake of just seeing like how happy he is and just how genuinely excited he is to be like out there on the field and making tackles and making jokes and, you know, whatever, all that stuff. So like Bishop Thomas is my guy for sure. I would say at least defensively. I don't know for the rest of the team, like offensively, we don't even know like what wide receiver they're going to play. So many guys. It could be, any of them, but like, so yeah, I guess if there's like one guy that came to mind right away where I was like, I would just love to see him do really well, it's him.
That's fair. I think, and maybe I'm just being too obvious with this one, but mine comes to, we were hearing a ton about him in the spring, And it's probably because he was like one of the first like high profile guys that Prime got out of the portal. But I feel like we haven't heard that much about Jimmy Horn during fall camp. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we are, and I'm just not seeing it. But I feel like he is. I mean, I think everyone's forgetting how. I mean, he's a quick dude. Playing at that. I think that he's like the F receiver now. It's like they call it the flex instead of the slot now. I think he's going to be somebody that can really make some explosive plays if he gets like, you know, if they've got the wrong personnel out there defensively and he gets matched up with a linebacker, see ya.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he was getting, yeah, it's like you were saying in the spring, I feel like he was getting all the shine, all the hype. And then people started being like, oh, this Xavier Weaver guy is pretty good. And Javon Antonio had a video where he like absolutely buried somebody at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
And people were like, wait, who's this guy? And then,
and he's big.
Yeah. You know, and they had like some other guy who was like, quote unquote, by their speed metrics, like the fastest guy on the team, like Breedlove and yeah, whatever, you know. What's that guy's name? I think he's number 6 on the offense. I wish I could remember his name. I'm gonna have to look that up. But anyway, there's a bunch of guys, especially at the wide receiver position, who are just like, I would say it's the one position that if someone gets hurt, I'm like not gonna be that worried about it, pretty much.
Yeah, you're thinking of Tavarius Nelson.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking of. Yes. Like he was like one of the fastest guys on all their like testing measurements and stuff like that. And then that doesn't even include the fact that, yeah, like Jimmy and Dylan and a few of those guys couldn't be punt returners. Like Jimmy was a all Big 12 conference punt returner. I'm pretty sure he was all Big 12. So like these guys will make an impact in multiple ways. So I think obviously Jimmy Horn is a big deal, and I think he's going to be a big deal for them. I will not be surprised if he makes some really, really big plays where he gets the ball like 5 yards from the line of scrimmage and just blows by a bunch of people.
Yeah, that's I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, Antonio is another one, because I mean he's like a big dude.
He's huge.
He's got a catch radius that's pretty insane. So I think both of those guys are good to look out for. But, well, actually, one position that we haven't really touched on, because, and I don't think anybody knows, maybe it sounds like after the press conference today that McCaskill is not going to be ready to go for
weekend. Yeah.
I'm curious who they trot out there as the quote-unquote starter. I mean, I think with the depth that you've gotten this running back room as well, I mean, whoever's the starter is not going to be, I mean, they're going to be able to throw 3-4 guys out there to get the job done. I'm curious who you think is going to be the guy that technically walks out and gets that starter role.
Yeah, I think that's like really going to depend on what they're trying to do offensively. Cause like, I think it's going to be either Smoke or Dylan Edwards, probably just based on like the touches that they've been getting in camp and like the overall talk about them and the hype surrounding them. If it's not Alton, and Smoke just seems like more of like a hammer to me. Like, I think he's just going to get the ball and go downhill and level somebody who gets in his way, you know? Whereas Dylan is more of the like, get him in space and see if he makes a guy or two miss and then scampers another 65 yards or whatever it is left to the end zone. So I think it'll probably be a mixture of those two would be my guess. I would think those would be their two guys. I would lean towards Smoke probably starts just because he has more experience. And I think, you know, when you're just getting started in the first game and there's all this pressure and you've got, you know, whatever craziness surrounding the team, maybe just handing it off to a guy who you know is just going to run forward and probably get a couple yards at the worst is probably what you're going to go with, you know? So I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up starting. If Alton McCaskill ends up not being able to go at all, which would be a bummer. I'm like very excited to see him play, but Obviously it's understandable, like what Coach Prime said to him, where he was saying, like, you're talking about a commercial and I'm talking about a whole movie. Like, mm-hmm. when Alton's trying to get him to let him take the, like, do not touch practice jersey yep. off or whatever. Yeah. So,
I mean,
that would be my guess. Smoke would be my guess. If I had a gun to my head, I would say it's probably him.
That's probably who I'd go for too. But I think passing situations, it's going to be all Dylan Edwards all day mm-hmm. long.
Yeah. 100%.
And it's going to be fun.
Yes.
I mean, I think he's, you can count on him for probably at least a couple explosive plays every single game.
Yeah, I sure hope so. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how they get creative with it, because it's definitely one of the stronger rooms on the team, I would say, between those two guys, Alton, even like Anthony Hankerson is like a decent running back.
Yeah.
And, they have guys in that room, so it would be interesting to see if two of them are out on the field at the same time, you know, for certain things or whatever. If they have like RPOs where the handoff is to Smoke and the pass is to Dylan Edwards type of yep. thing, you know,
looking out, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, so I'm excited for that for sure.
Yep. But I think we both kind of gave our predictions, I think, on what we think this game is going to end up like. But did you want to throw a score out there?
I think we're going to cover for sure. I feel fairly comfortable with that, although I have been fairly comfortable with CU in my lifetime in the past, and it has not gone my way. But where we sit right now, I feel fairly comfortable with the fact that they're going to cover 20 and a half points. Mm-hmm. I'm leaning like a high scoring game. So I'm thinking in the 35-28 TCU range. I want to be wrong very badly. I also want to just fully dive in and be like, CU is going to be all over these guys.
but cut yourself there.
Yes, but it's just like really hard for me to dive in. And if they do, if they beat TCU, or if it's like a good game and they look like and they look good, I'm gonna be insufferable. So,
oh yeah, I'm getting my conductor hat and I will drive that hype train.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I guess that's where I'm at right now. But what about you?
Yeah, I was looking to see the total is set at 64. That's mm-hmm. I don't feel comfortable playing that, just because I feel it's very similar. I'm very confident CU is going to cover. I put some money on to CU to cover the 20 and a half. That line just seems that to me is a line that Vegas is saying we think a downgraded TCU team is playing basically the year ago version of CU. They're not accounting for anything there, so I'm very confident in that. I'm thinking it's going to be somewhere in like the 38-31 type range.
Okay.
But again, that's close enough to that 64 line where I don't feel comfortable. That's a lot of points to score in the first week.
It is. Yeah.
First week overs are dangerous.
Yeah. And they've got the new rules now where the clock runs
right
more. So yeah, I'm hesitant to do that too, but I don't know, man. We'll see. So you would pick TCU in this one too, right?
I mean, yeah, I'm picking TCU right now.
I know you don't want to.
But I don't want to.
Yeah. Your brain says, yeah.
It's hard for me to say that because I'm on all bus all day, every day, and I'm just constantly seeing people like, we're gonna win. And I'm like,
yeah.
I feel like we are, but I can't say it.
Oh God, the boards. Let me tell you, if anyone is out there and they don't go on College Football Boards, be happy about it, because let me tell you, it is a wild place where I spent some of today just jumping back and forth on 247 between CU and TCU's boards. And it is absolutely outrageous the things that people will say about each other just because you're a fan of another football team and your fandom is getting a little out of hand. Okay.
Yeah. those TCU, those fans are, they are confident. They are, they feel like they're raring up for another like national championship run.
Look, they are for sure. Don't get me wrong. They are very confident, but like there are some CU people being like, we're going to beat them by 30. And I'm like, all right, man, let's take it down a couple of notches.
I read a full like 5-paragraph analysis from one poster that was saying that CU was going to win like 63-21 or something like that.
I wouldn't even know what to do with myself.
It's like, hey, man, I'll get whatever you're having injected into my veins.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. We'll see. But like I said, if they win on Saturday, the hype train will be unstoppable. There will be no amount of backtracking that could possibly stop what is going to come for people who like totally hated on the whole process and everything with CU. It's going to be, people are going to be insufferable. And I know I've said that word a couple of times, but people are going to be absolutely insufferable. And I look forward to it. I really do.
And I will be one of them.
Yeah, sure.
I will be one of them. That'll do it for this week's episode. Just as a heads up for the future, I'm going to try and get this one out tomorrow, Wednesday. That's kind of what we're planning to do for the release. So we'll probably try and get these out every Wednesday. I have a Twitter, X, whatever the hell you want to call it, that we set up. I'm going to link the username in there because it's too long to be actually spelled out shoulder to shoulder pod. So I'll link that in the show notes. We have an email that we have if people want to send in questions for us to go over for a mailbag type thing. It's shouldertoshoulderpod@gmail.com. Again, I'll link that all in the notes. We're back. We're excited to be doing this again. And we're ready to watch the primetime era at CU start this Saturday at big noon kickoff.
Yes, sir. Let's go Buffs, baby. I just am so excited. I can't even contain it. And the people in my life are so irritated about how much I talk about this team and how excited I am about the season. And I know that it could all come crashing down shortly, but I have very high hopes. So I'm looking forward to it.
It can't crash until it crashes.
Yes, exactly.
That's the mentality. And
I'm gonna love it until it does.
Yep. But yeah, we'll catch y'all next week. Thanks for listening. And as always, Sko Buffs.
Sko Buffs.